What's going on, everybody? It's your host, Tyler Brown Jr., and welcome back to another episode of the Sports Guru, where we talk about sports mainly. As you know, we have the NFL season going on, NBA season going on, we have the World Series of Baseball going on, which I will get into. So, you guys know the deal. Let's hop right into it. Capping off week 7, another crazy week in the books. Talk about some teams, got some questions for some teams, and it's been another crazy week. Going right into it. So we're going to start off with Cardinals and Saints game Thursday night. Cardinals beat the Saints 42-34. Kyler Murray threw for 204 yards and a TD. Benjamin had 92 yards rushing a TD. Hopkins had 103 receiving yards. Andy Dalton threw for 361 yards, 4 TDs, 3 interceptions. And Chris Olave led the Saints receiving with 106 yards. Now this game, I know it's going to be a close game. I didn't expect to be as high scoring as it was, but I knew it was going to be a good game. I had the Cardinals winning on the strength of DeAndre Hopkins is back, and that's who the Cardinals need on offense to get a boost. And honestly, he looked good out there. He looked like he didn't really miss a step. He was getting a lot of targets. He had 10 catches for 103 yards on 14 targets. He was getting the ball a lot. He looked good out there. Andy Dalton being Andy Dalton. Threw 3 interceptions, 2 for pick sixes. And, they were down. They were down a lot early, which led him to, throwing the ball a lot more as the game went along. And the Saints are just not a good football team. They definitely need Jameis back. And they definitely need Michael Thomas in the lineup. But they're just not good on both sides of the ball. The Cardinals could possibly start waking up now that they have DeAndre back. And, that probably is just the spark they needed. I mean, first game back, you put up 40 points. That's saying something. So, we're going to watch the Cardinals moving on now that D-Hop is back and see what they do. Moving on, we have my Cowboys versus the Lions. Cowboys beat the Lions 24-6. Prescott threw for 27 yards, a TD. Tony Pollard ran for 83 yards. Zeke ran for 57 yards, 2 TDs. And CeeDee Lamb led the team receiving with 70 yards. Jared Goff threw for 228 yards and 2 interceptions. Jamal Williams rushed for 79 yards. And Khalif Raymond led the Lions receiving with 75 yards. Now, going into this week, quarterback is finally coming back after missing 6 weeks. And, we're playing the Lions team with lots of points, lots of yards. Basically one of the worst defense in the league, but they're top 5 in scoring. So honestly, I thought we'll come out there and kind of blow out the Lions and destroy them. But for the most part, this game, it was pretty close. It was only 6-3 going to half. We were down 6-3, and then we were up. We had end up scoring. Zeke ended up scoring. We were up 10-6, and Micah Parsons made a huge play because they were driving down the field in the red zone, and he made a stop at the 1 yard line to save a touchdown. And then Jamal Williams, the next play, fumbled at the goal line, the 1 yard line, which caused him to turn the ball over, and we got the ball back. So that kind of changed the game, the whole momentum. And we ended up pulling this game late, which this game shouldn't have been as close as it should have been. I feel like we should have really created five turnovers. 2 picks, 3 fumble recoveries, and only put up 24 points. We should have easily put up 40 points Sunday. I understand as Dak first came back, I think it's 6 weeks. Rusty got to get back in the flow. I understand that. But playing a team like the Lions, and they're struggling, their defense not that great, and, with the talent that the Cowboys have, we should have scored a lot more points. But once again, our defense come through, like I said, creating 5 turnovers. And we show why we're one of the best defenses in the league. Moving on, we had the Washington Commanders beating the Packers 23-21. Heinicke threw for 201 yards, 2 TDs and interception. Robinson Jr., 73 rushing yards. McLaurin with 73 receiving yards and a TD. Rodgers threw for 194 yards and 2 TDs. Aaron Jones had 23 rushing yards. Also added 53 receiving yards, 2 TDs. Lazard with 55 receiving yards. Man, I don't know what's going on. It's hilarious because I don't know what's going on in Green Bay, man, but Packers, y'all sorry, man. Really sorry. Like where the like Aaron Rodgers is not, this is not the Aaron Rodgers I'm used to seeing. The Aaron Rodgers, I just won MVP last season. I don't know what's going on with him, but this is not it, Packers. What are y'all doing out there? What are y'all doing? Y'all choked to the New York Giants out of 2010. Then last week, the Jets went in Lambeau Field and stomped on y'all, holding y'all to 10 points. And then lose to the Commanders, and they don't have their starting quarterback, Carson Wentz. He's on IR. They have Taylor Heineke. And it's another home loss. I lost two home games back to, well, three home games in a row. Two home games in a row, because the Giants game and that was in London. Excuse me. But yeah, offense not doing much. That defense hasn't really been producing well. This is really a down year for you. I understand, you know, Devontae Adams not there no more. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers receivers are young, but there's no excuse to why they're losing some of these games that they should win. You have to execute late game. Like, y'all now 3-4. Y'all lost three straight. It's not a good look. Y'all keep this up, y'all won't be in the playoffs. Man, Packers are disappointing right now. I predicted them to win their division. But the way they keep playing, the Vikings keep winning. The Vikings are going to run off with the NFC North. The Vikings are 5-1. Green Bay 3-4. Vikings right now the best team in the NFC North. And I predicted that. Well, I didn't predict it, but the Vikings were my sleeper team in the NFC. The reason why I say that is because the Vikings have the talent. Like, they're a pretty solid team. And week one showed me, when they beat the Packers as bad as they did, that they're going to do pretty well this year. And right now, they're, like I said, living up to it, and they're 5-1 and leading the NFC North. But as Packers fans, I don't know what y'all going to do. If, you know, Aaron Rodgers got to step his game up, he has to play better, and the defense has to play better. So, I don't know, man. It's just a tough time to be a Packers fan. But moving on. Panthers beat the Bucks 21-3. P.J. Welker threw for 177 yards, two TDs. Dante Foreman rushed for 118 yards. D.J. Moore, 69 receiving yards and a TD. Brady threw for 290 yards. Mike Evans, 96 receiving yards. Man, the Bucks, man, they're just... Bucks, man. I understand. Look, Tom Brady came back. You know, he retired. He came back. Said he wanted to play another year. But the Bucks haven't been looking great on either both sides of the ball. The Panthers just got rid of their best running back and McCaffrey to the Niners. Baker's hurt. Sam Darnold is on IR. They're playing against a third-string backup quarterback, P.J. Walker. You would think the Bucks would win this game. But what they do, they only put up 3 points. Field goal. No touchdown. Mike Evans dropped a touchdown pass he should have caught. But it still don't stop the fact that they were playing terrible all game. Brady, you've been playing trash. Horrible. Horrendous. You, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, y'all all been playing like garbage. And y'all supposed to be, and all three are top-tier quarterbacks, and this is a down year for all three of you guys. Like, I don't know what's going through your head, what y'all seeing out there, but y'all letting the fans down, y'all letting... y'all just not performing. Y'all not performing the way we used to see y'all performing. Tom Brady playing at, you know, usually played at a high elite level, you know. You're going to get what you're going to get from him, but this year, I don't know if it's because he has a lot going on with his personal life and stuff like that, which is leading him to not play well. Aaron Rodgers, you know, want to take the money, let Devontae go. Russell Wilson playing horrible on a new team, making all that money. Like, y'all three are, like, literally top-tier quarterbacks. You know, elite quarterbacks. And the stats and numbers are not showing for it this year. Like, all y'all teams are struggling. Y'all just not good on either side of the ball. It's just, it's hard to watch. But then again, it shows that this year's NFL season is very well balanced. Each and every week is up in the air. You just don't know. You just don't know. You really just don't know what team's going to come out and surprise you each and every week. And it's lovely. Because some of the teams you think that's going to play well or are doing well, you talk about them 1 week and they lose the next week. Which is wild. Wow. But moving on. Giants beat the Jaguars 23-17. Daniel Jones threw for 22 yards, a TD. Also ran for 107 yards in the TD. Saquon Barkley, 110 rushing yards. Darius Slayton, 58 yards, receiving and a touchdown. Trevor Lawrence threw for 310 yards. Travis Etienne Jr., 114 rushing yards in the TD. Christian Kirk, 96 yards. Now, honestly, the Jaguars were the favorites to win this game. If you look at the money lines and the spreads, they were the favorites. But something was telling me the Giants are going to pull this out somehow, somewhere, like they usually do with all their games they have been in. They scored. I mean, they scored late. Jaguars drive on the field. And they came close, almost scoring a game with a touchdown, but got stopped a yard short. Like, you allowed Daniel Jones to rush for 107 yards. Like, you know he's a running quarterback. He likes to run. You have to keep a spot on him. You can't let him run. They had 237 yards rushing as a team. That's not a recipe for success for the opposing team if you allow a team to rush for over 200 yards, 230 yards. Jaguars, yeah, I've been struggling. I just lost to the Texans not too long ago, and the Texans are not a good team. Yeah, I started off hot, 2-0. Now, you guys are 2-5. Y'all lost the last five games. I don't know what's going over there. I thought, you know, you guys were going to do something this year. Yeah, I was leading the AFC South at one point. Now, you guys are at the bottom, and Tennessee is leading the AFC South right now. So, moving forward, I don't know if something got to give, something got to change, but it's not looking good for Jacksonville right now at all. Not a good look. Ravens beat the Browns 23-20. Lamar Jackson threw 420 yards. Also have 59 rushing yards on the ground. Gus Edwards, 66 rushing yards, two touchdowns. Duvernay and Bateman have 42 receiving yards each. Brissett, 258 yards passing. Jacoby Brissett. Nick Chubb, 91 rushing yards on TD. Amari Cooper led the team in receiving with 74 receiving yards. Like I said, the Ravens is also another team that scares me. Like, they are just not consistent. And what I mean by that is, like, the Ravens, they're not a bad team, you know. They play hard. They've been having some close games, which in close situations, they haven't always done the best in. They had some leads that they choked. Honestly, and Lamar didn't play great. I mean, only 120 passing yards. Mark Andrews didn't catch a ball. Had 0 yards. Zero receptions. When do we ever see that? And that's Lamar's guy. When do we ever see that? The Browns basically took him out the game, and they somehow still won this game. I mean, the Ravens, I don't know. That AFC North is just, I still think the Bengals are the better team and going to win that division. Lamar's play been slipping. You know, he started off the year hot, you know, in an MVP conversation. And these last few weeks showed that he's definitely not in the conversation anymore. But we're going to see. I mean, it was good to see Gus Edwards, you know, first game back. He scored twice. We'll see how their run game hold up, you know, since J.K. Dobbins is out for the next few weeks. For surgery. And, you know, the Ravens do have a short turnaround, which we will get into. They do play tomorrow. But we're going to get into that. Moving on. Dolphins beat the Steelers 16-10. Tua threw for 261 yards of TD. Raheem Mostert has 79 rushing yards. Jalen Waddle had 88 receiving yards. Kenny Pickett, 257 passing yards, a TD, three interceptions. Pat Freiermuth, 75 receiving yards. George Pickens, 61 receiving yards in the TD. Honestly, this game, you know, Tua's coming back. And I'm thinking the Dolphins' offense is just going to pick it up and, you know, run off with this game. But this was a low-scoring struggle game. I mean, plus in the fourth quarter, I think the third, fourth quarter, it was a lot of three and outs on each side of the ball. Each time the team punted and get it back, it was just another three and out, another three and out, another three and out. Like, it was just no offense being produced at all in that second half. And Kenny Pickett, he doesn't make good decisions at times. Like, he's definitely bound to give you a turnover. He had three picks, three interceptions, three turnovers, and he only scored 16 points. You got to put up more points. Steelers are just bad. Offenses can't really move the ball, can't really throw the ball down the field. Defense, not that good. Dolphins with Tua. You know, Tua, he's just coming back, so, you know, got to give him, I think he missed about like 2-3 weeks. Give him about a week or two to, you know, bounce back. I think the Dolphins are going to be all right. Their division, the AFC East, it's a tough division. You know, Bills playing well. Jets been playing well. Dolphins came back on track with a win. That division is tight. I want to see how that division moving forward. Still have the Bills win that division coming out the AFC. But, yeah. And then the Monday night game, we had the Bears and the Patriots. Bears beat the Patriots 33-14. Justin Fields, 179 passing yards, a TD, and an interception. Also had 82 rushing yards on the ground. David Montgomery, had 62 rushing yards, a TD. Bailey Zappi had 185 passing yards, a TD, two interceptions. Ramondre Stevenson, 39 rushing yards and a TD. Devontae Parker, 68 receiving yards. Now, Patriots and Bears, honestly, how I think about it, the Bears are just horrible to me. They're horrible on both sides of the ball. Offense can't really do much. Justin Fields has been up and down, shaky. But the Bears came out here and basically punched the Patriots in the mouth. Literally, they had 243 rushing yards on the ground. Like, if you told me that was going to happen, then no. I didn't see that coming. But
recording real quick. So I'm recording right now. Sorry about that, but
back to what I was saying. Bears had 243 rushing yards on the ground. And like I said, their offense isn't the greatest. Their team isn't the greatest. And the Patriots, you know, they were hot. They just won like two straight. Billy Zappi was playing all right. Mac Jones, first game back, he didn't really do much in his first two drives. Got pulled out the game. Billy Zappi came in. They started scoring. I'm like, okay, Patriots starting to wake up. But then the Bears were just kept executing. And they got the Patriots to turn the ball over. And they came out victorious. So this game was a surprise. I didn't really see this coming. I'm thinking Patriots, you know, at home, going to win. But the Bears had other plans and basically just shut down the Patriots. Shut down their offense and their defense locked up. So, and their offense were putting up points, which the Bears don't really do, honestly. But yeah, that's pretty much the week 7 recap. Like I said, each and every week, just never know. You can lose any given Sunday if you don't come out to play. No matter the opponent, the record, you have to go out there and execute and do what you work on in practice and situations. Now we have week 8 starting tomorrow, Thursday night. We have the Bucks and the Ravens. This game is going to be, I think this game is going to be close. Like I said, Brady hasn't been playing that well. Lamar hasn't been really playing that well the last few weeks. But who I think is going to... I mean, the Bucks are the favorite to win by point. So that's how you know this game is going to be really close. The Ravens were the favorite but they changed the line to the Bucks being the favorite by point. So, and it's in Tampa. But I think the Ravens are going to win this game due to the fact that the Ravens' offense is slightly better than the Bucks. The Ravens have, I think, one of the top five scoring offenses like that. They're one of the highest scoring teams, highest scoring offenses in the league. You know, Mark Andrews, I think, is going to bounce back. And Lamar, I feel like, is going to make more plays than Brady tomorrow. Like I said, it's going to be close, competitive, hard-fought game. But I think the Ravens come out on top just on the strength of that. And I think the run game is going to be better than Tampa's. Tampa's run game have been non-existent and just been relying on Tom Brady's arm. Throw the ball 40, 50 times, which isn't a recipe for success. So that's a game to watch out for tomorrow night. But I do have the Ravens winning. Right. Now, let's talk about the NBA. Well, NBA, but I really want to talk about my Lakers. My Lakers are 0-3. They just lost to the Bucks. They lost to Trailblazers on Sunday. Game-winning layup by Jeremy Grant. Out of all people, thinking situation-wise, last shot, Blazers. You know, you thinking they're going to go to Dame. But they went to Jeremy Grant, got a layup. 3 seconds left, and we lose the game. First off, before that even happened, we were up by 8. We're 4.5 left. There's no way you should lose that game. You have to close that game out. You have to execute, and you can't be stagnant. Lakers team right now is not constructed to win. We have no shooting. We don't have any offense, really. And what I mean by that, yeah, you got LeBron and AD. But besides that, everybody else is just another person out there. Patrick Beverly, shooting, not hitting anything. Russell Westbrook, don't get me started on him. He's been trash. And he needs to be traded. Should have been traded in the offseason. Shouldn't have been started the season on the Lakers. We should have just gave up our picks. Stop holding on to your pride. Eagle, let that man go. Should have traded our first two draft picks to the Pacers and got Buddy Hield and Miles Turner. But we had on the Westbrook and look how that turned out for us. This team right now is the way they're going. They're not going to make the playoffs, not going to make the play-in. They're going to be definitely on the couch. Probably have one of the top picks if they keep playing the way they're playing. They're playing tonight against the Nuggets, which they're going to lose. So they're going to be 0-4 after tonight. Honestly, they're just, it's just hard to watch them. It's not even, you know, stress out, even get mostly invested in them because they're just not a good basketball team and they're not going to be able to compete. They're not going to be able to beat anybody in the West at all. Like I said, they'll be lucky they make a play-in game and they might lose the play-in game depending on who they play. This team has to be built better. Like what Rob Pelinka, Jenny Buss, I don't know, what are y'all thinking with this team, but this team is not going to go far, not going to win no championship. Like, LeBron years are dwindling, and he's trying to win another championship, but he can't win it with a team like this. Definitely need more pieces. Like, I want to say, well, you can definitely use another star to accommodate with Anthony Davis and LeBron. So kind of have like a big three, those guys, and have some good, productive role players that can shoot because we are like one of the worst three-point shooting teams in the league. Like we're shooting like 20-some percent and dudes keep just jacking up threes like they're Steph Curry and you can't shoot. You can't win in the NBA if you can't shoot because you got to be able to hit shots. It's just not looking good for the Lakers. Like, they're just going to have to... They might as well just scratch this season. Start fresh, rebuild, get some picks, trades, cut some guys. go after some big free agent names, because I just can't with them right now. I just can't. It's to the point where I don't even want to watch them, because I just feel like they're just going to lose when I watch them. So that's that. Now we have the MLB World Series. As you guys know, I don't really follow baseball, but I think I should start following it more. We have the Phillies and the Astros, which game one is Friday night in Houston, 8 o'clock. The Houston Astros and the Dodgers were like the two best teams in baseball. Those were like the two of the favorites to win the World Series. The Dodgers ended up losing to the Padres. So now we have the Astros were the favorites to win it. Phillies beat the Padres, and now they're playing the Astros. Who I think is going to win the World Series? I think the Astros are going to win it. I feel like the Astros are the better team. They've been, like I said, one of the best teams in baseball all year. And they have the right pieces, and they haven't lost in the postseason yet. And I just think they're going to go out there, execute, and it's going to be beat the Phillies. Because the last thing I need to see is the Phillies win and Philadelphia be in shambles. I'm talking about acting crazy, parade, downtown Philly. You know, people not know how to act, and that's the last thing I need to see on the news. So I'm definitely favoring with the Astros to win. And like I said, game one starts Friday, and we will definitely see how the World Series unfold, and we will definitely be talking about it. So that's pretty much it for this episode. Thank you for your time. Thank you for tuning in. And this is the segment for today. We will definitely be back next week with more. And until next time, I'm your host, Taylor Brown Jr., and I am out. Peace.